How many of you have ever had leprosy? You know, I, as a family practitioner for 6 years and a dermatologist since then, in this country, I have diagnosed one case of leprosy. So there's actually 200 cases of leprosy every year diagnosed in this country, which is pretty much nothing. There are hotbeds of leprosy all over the world still. China specifically, there is whole still colonies of people that live in leper-designed colonies. And if you go to the Marshall Islands, there is a lot of leprosy scattered throughout the islands there. And in India is also another place. Leprosy is really hard to diagnose because you can't grow the bacteria. I mean, today, we're talking leprosy today. You can't grow this bacteria outside of a person, a host. You can't grow in a petri dish. You can't isolate it and grow it and say, yep, that's leprosy. All that you can do is you can biopsy tissue and stain and see the organism in the tissue itself. Leprosy likes to attack certain things in the body, specifically the skin. It's known for its skin findings where you get loss of pigmentation, or you can get increased pigmentation, you can get thickening of the skin. And where it goes into the skin, it also attacks the nerves in the skin, and that's what leprosy is most known for. Some people think that leprosy causes limbs and things to mysteriously fall off, and that's not what happens. It actually destroys the nerves, and so when you can't feel anymore, then you're susceptible to injury. And the stereotypical picture of leprosy is someone who can't feel, and the rodents come at night and nibble their fingers off. So that was kind of the because if someone came and bit your finger, would you know it? Yeah, you'd wake right up and shoo them away and set a trap, and that would be it. But, and so commonly they will experience burns, and that's sometimes how it's first diagnosed, when all of a sudden you put your hand or your foot in scalding water and now you can't even feel it, and then you have this blistering burn because you didn't feel the hot. And so it has a predilection for the eyes. People can lose vision. It has a predilection for the nose, where you can lose nasal cartilage. And those are some of the classic deformities, loss of fingers, things like that. The classic deformities when we look at progressed leprosy. Now, today we don't see too much of that. It is actually treatable. It requires treating for pretty much a year with three different antibiotics. And the World Health Organization has a thing in place to actually provide medicine free of charge to anyone who has leprosy. And so the idea of a leper colony, of putting someone away to go live by themselves, has kind of fallen by the wayside, but not as you know, far in the past as you might have thought. Leper colonies were still a thing up until the late 1960s. And even today in some countries, like China, they're still where they send people away. But the stigma that is associated with leprosy has been in the past, and that's what we're familiar with. And it still, to a large degree, is present today, particularly in India and China. And there's some extreme cases in northern India where leprosy is equated to this word: you are untouchable, right? Untouchable. And it often persists even after leprosy is cured. People still have that stigma associated with that. And so along with that, with leprosy, not just in the past, but certainly in the past, much more prevalent, but even today, things that happen to people with leprosy, social things, are they lose their spouse, so there's a divorce involved many times. There's eviction from wherever they're living. There's loss of employment. There's ostracism from society and social networks. And in the past, in Jesus's time, leprosy was thought of as that which was a specific punishment from God for some sin, some moral failure. And so when someone was diagnosed with leprosy back then, the automatic assumption was they have sinned. And it was true because, and the idea was this was a judgment from God, that it was God's will that they have leprosy because of their wrongdoing. And so to keep the other people protected from leprosy, they would then push them out of society on their own. By the way, leprosy actually is not that contagious. Turns out that 95% of the people in the population are not actually susceptible to leprosy. You might be exposed to it, but you won't get it. And they don't know exactly why. And this is always a science's answer, right, Kathy? We don't know exactly why. We don't have the answer completely, but we think there's probably a genetic predisposition to some people get it or some people don't. It also is, with exposure to leprosy, it's not like a one-time casual exposure, but it is in close, intimate contact. So that's why families who are living together in close quarters, that's where leprosy tends to happen. And that's why leprosy tends to have its predilection for those that are on kind of the lower income in society, right? Because they're living together. They're multiple families growing together. And that's where that happens. Now, that wasn't the case with Naaman, right? He wasn't on the lower. He was a soldier in the army, and he had leprosy. And so in Jesus' time, this is pretty much the story that they knew about. There were a few healings from leprosy, but for the priest to be able to heal someone from leprosy, this was almost, it didn't happen in their time then. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with us there. And the title of the message this morning is, Are You Willing? So let's pray. Father in heaven, we just want to stop and pause as we open your word. Ask as we consider the words of the writer Mark, speaking of this healing miracle of Jesus, that your spirit would touch our hearts, that you would speak to our hearts of what our need is, what our leprosy is today, and see you as the answer to that. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. So we are considering, and we're kind of jumping back into considering the healing miracles of Jesus. So he's still in Galilee, and the teaching by the sea. He had called his disciples, and healing, he had done some healings, and there was great attention, and the crowds were gathering, and this was no different on this day. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45, you could also find this in Matthew chapter 8, 1 to 4, and Luke chapter 5, 12 to 16, and the accounts are very, very similar. There's just very, very slight differences. But they are very, very close. So we're going to look at it in Mark's gospel. So Mark chapter 1, verse 40 says this. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, and he touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and he began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in a deserted place, and they came to him from every direction. It's an amazing story. Leprosy is different. I mean, he healed people. He healed the demoniac. He healed these different diseases that people had, the paralytic that is one to come, the nobleman's son who was on the verge of death with a fever. Leprosy is different because of all that's associated with it. It is a medical condition, but along with that medical condition was all of the misunderstanding that was applied to it and all of the condemnation that was associated with it in a leper's mind. The first thing we encounter is this leper, the one with this disease, the one that is separated from basically society, is his desire. He knew. But why would Jesus, the question, why would, or I wonder if, he's healed some, I hear this healing, I wonder if he would be willing to heal me. And so his desire is expressed in this first thing that we read here, and that is he simply came. And that's how our desire is expressed, simply coming to Jesus. And then his respect to him is the next thing that is communicated. It says, the next words it says, he implored him. The word is parakaleo. Kaleo means called, to call. Para means next to. So picture this. Here is this leper. He has to go down. He has to proclaim himself and announce him as he's going down to this down the road. Unclean, unclean. And here is Jesus teaching and this crowd of people. How is he going to get from where he is to where Jesus is without breaking protocol? You can't. A leper cannot walk into a crowd. And so here he comes to him and he calls him to his side. I can picture it. I can picture him from a distance. I can picture him calling out to Jesus and saying, would you come? Would you come? Because he's at this barrier. The leper is at this barrier of, I can't just push in. And then the next thing is his posture. He is kneeling. In the Matthew's gospel, it says he worshiped. That's really important when we understand the word worship in the Bible. The Bible's definition of the word worship is basically a posture. It can be a physical posture, but it's a posture in our heart. It's a posture in our heart of one that is kneeling. You've seen them pray. You've seen them pray at the mosques, kneeling with their forehead to the ground. That is what the word, that's what the word actually describes, the Greek word, when they just use the word worship. And this was his posture. It was one of extreme reverence, kneeling, calling him to his side, coming to him and calling him the rest of the way out of respect for the people and for Jesus himself, not wanting to impose him and his disease on Christ. And then his statement, if you are willing. You know, why would he ask if you're willing? Remember, it was God's will that he have leprosy on account of some sin or some moral shortfalling. That was his belief. That is what the religious leaders taught. That is what society taught him. It was somehow God's finger. So if God's finger put leprosy on him, how could it be God's will that he now not have leprosy? And so it's a very reasonable question to ask Jesus, if you are willing. The question isn't, can you do this? He knows he can do it. The question is, are you willing to do it? It's a if-then statement. If you have done any amount of computer programming, there is an if-then statement. If this is true, then this will happen. And lots of computer programs are set up with this. If this number equals this, then it will do this. The computer will tell it what to do. So the if-then question was, if Jesus is willing, then he will be healed. That was the only condition in the leper's mind that was holding this back. Is it according to God's will? He hoped for it. He yearned for it. Now, it doesn't say in the Bible what the physical condition of this leper was, but a typical condition that you would think would be someone who has had some facial deformities, has a face covering to mask that, perhaps has fingers and toes that have been lost, and maybe some that are gangrenous, some that don't smell so well. There was probably some odor associated with this, and it wasn't a pretty sight. And it was with the full knowledge that this disease carried with it, the misguided notion that this was a stroke from God and that God was directly responsible for this punishment. It is fitting that the Bible's kind of equates leprosy, this disease, with sin. And it's fitting also, because you notice that in the Bible here, it doesn't say Jesus healed him. What word does it use? He cleansed him. That's a completely different idea. It wasn't simply just a medical condition that was implied with leprosy. It was a complete cleansing that was went along with it. And all of this Jesus knew, and it was for this reason that when he saw this scene and he looked at this man, it tells us three things that happened. First of all, it says, verse 41, Jesus was moved with what? Compassion. His heart ached for the misapprehension that this leper had. The idea that God would not be willing. That was carried, that he carried that burden in his heart. His heart yearned and ached with compassion as he saw the deformities that he had. And his heart yearned and ached with compassion because of the separation which he experienced from the rest of society, the alienation. All of this Jesus knew. And so he was moved with compassion, and the next thing he did was the unspeakable. Is he touched him. At that moment, according to the law of Moses, Jesus was unclean. I mean, you could picture and imagine perhaps the disciples, no, 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 no. Everybody saying, no, 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 no. And the big crowd, And Jesus, I can't imagine there would be a moment of hesitation, reached and touched him. And at that moment, at that very same moment, he then said, I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. And his leprosy was cleansed. And immediately there was visible representation to know that it wasn't just, oh, he took antibiotics and now his skin's going to heal. He had restoration. he had restoration physically for them to be able to say that in the story. There was no lab tests that they had to go in order. They saw the physical representation that this man was healed. He wasn't healed. He was cleansed. He was cleansed of the infection. He was cleansed of the effect of the infection. He was cleansed from the sense of condemnation and alienation that leprosy carried with it, that God somehow had something against him. He was cleansed from the stigma of society. And when Jesus spoke those words, "Be cleansed," he was cleansed. How about when it comes to our hearts? I mean, what's our leprosy? What's our moral defilement? What's our sin that separates us from him? Jesus wants to communicate in this, I am always willing. There is never a time when God is not willing to cleanse us from our moral defilement and from our sin. John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." John caught the idea about cleansing. Did Jesus condemn this leper for having leprosy? No, of course not. He didn't condemn him. And when we're thinking about this story and we can picture Jesus' compassion and we can picture Jesus' touch and we can picture Jesus' words, but we have to also remember that Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." That in this miracle, Jesus is portraying God. The alienation that we may feel that we have from him, the separation, the things that are there. And this is God saying, "I am willing." This is God reaching out and touching in the midst of whatever it is, uncleanness we're experiencing. And this is God saying to us and whispering in our ears, "I am willing. Be cleansed." There's that verse in Corinthians, "Be reconciled." Be. This is God's heart personified in this action with Jesus and the leper. This is God's heart towards all of humanity. But Jesus didn't condemn the leper for having leprosy. He forgived him. He forgave him. He had a heart of no condemnation and forgiveness toward him. Did he simply want to just embrace him and let him feel loved? He did that, didn't he, with his touch? That was his embrace, to let him know, his identification with him, his willing to enter into and bring comfort to him. But it's not only forgiveness and non-condemnation that Jesus wanted the leper to feel. It is not only the embrace and touch, but he wanted him to have the disease removed. And that's how it is with sin. He wants us to know, "I have no condemnation. I don't condemn you. I forgive you." And he wants us to embrace us in the heartache and the difficulty and the trial and the loss and the injury that we experience as a result of sin in our life. And he will embrace us and come close to us, and he will then say, "I am willing. Be cleansed." He will then clean us from that which brings the most pain to our life. That's how it is with sin. He's always willing to do everything for our eternal good. And he cares also about our immediate good as well. He's always willing when it comes to cleansing of the heart. The next thing that comes in the story is the warning. Jesus told him, "Don't go tell anybody I mean, can you imagine if word got out to the leper colony what you would see? You would see herds of people coming massively. And then what happens to the rest of the people because of it? You can see the chaos that would happen. And so Jesus strategically tells him, does this for him and ministers to his need and does it with a willing heart, but really literally means don't go tell anybody. Don't assume. The leper thought Jesus was just being what? Modest. He thought he was just being humble, because that's how Jesus is. He's just humble. Don't assume that Jesus' instructions only include those things that you can understand and grasp in your immediate senses. Beyond the obvious that is Jesus is a humble person, and he doesn't want to lift himself up, but that wasn't the reason. It was so that he could continue to have access to minister the gospel. And the result was he was not able to go into a town publicly, at least for a period of time, in that region. So don't assume that what God means when he asks you to do something, that you understand all those reasons why. And don't try to outthink God and outthink Jesus by thinking, oh, well, you know, that's just him. He didn't really mean that. And then Jesus gave him the instruction, show yourself to do the offering that Moses asked for. Jesus is giving evidence here that he wasn't doing away. He hadn't come to do away with the laws of Moses and the ordinances that they had been given. A matter of fact, the law for that was set there by Moses for the leper to be able to present himself to the priest to be certifiably non-leprous was not really something that happened in other societies. Remember how I said in India, sometimes even if you were healed, you still carried with it the ability or the stigma of having leprosy, and all of the alienation stayed with you because you had it. That wasn't true. In God's system, there was a way to be certifiably non-leprous. You know, the quarantine idea is actually a biblical idea, isn't it? Yeah, so it wasn't wrong to say, look, we don't know how to treat this, and we're going to keep the folks that have it over here. But if I walk slower, I'll catch it. But so to have it built in that if someone was, their leprosy went away, because sometimes that actually did happen, then they could be certified non-leprous. This was a good thing. And Jesus was simply saying, go show yourself to the priest. Notice what it says there, though. That those that Moses commanded, so go show yourself, give the offering that Moses commanded, verse 44, as a testimony to them. You know, the word testimony is, you know, the Ark of the Covenant contains what? It's also called the Ark of the Testimony. It is evidence. It is actually evidence that God is true, evidence of his character. So that's what's there. And this is the word, or this is what's communicated in this word of testimony, is evidence. Go to the priest and give them evidence. Give them the testimony. Can you imagine? There has never been a healing, where someone had overt, progressed leprosy and then was healed in their modern day. So for that to happen, the priest had to, one, admit that something miraculous has happened here. And it was a testimony. And in the same way, when we experience victories in our life, it is a testimony. It is evidence of God's manifestation and His leading, that it is real and it is alive today. Victory in our lives serves as evidence that God's way of selfless living is something humanity desires when we have victories in our life. We testify to that. We say, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to not do this anymore. And as God manifests Himself and cleanses our life of the sin that we struggle with, then we now have a living testimony. Victory in the life serves as evidence. Living godly in Christ Jesus is something to be desired, and it gives evidence that it does not require some inducement or bribe from heaven for us to want that. We want it because God is good. His way is good. Not because of some inducement that He's giving to us. And so when we allow Him to work in our life and to change our life and to change our heart, we're giving evidence. And not just evidence to the priest. Do the priests need evidence? Yes. Your pastor needs encouragement. When we have a pastor, he's going to need encouragement. It'll be great encouragement when you testify of victories that you experience in your life. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul wrote this, "For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it was appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, to angels and to men." We are a testimony not just to people that we come in contact with, but we are a testimony to the world. And we are a testimony to angels. That word spectacle is theatron. What does that make you think of? Yeah, it's like a stage. We are living representatives on the stage of life, this world, and the universe at large. And whenever we allow God to change our hearts, it is a living testimony to the cleansing power of God. In the book Desire of Ages, it says this, "The work of Christ in cleansing the leper from this terrible disease is an illustration of His work in cleansing the soul from sin. The man who came to Jesus was full of leprosy. Its deadly poison permeated his whole body. The disciples sought to prevent their master from touching him, for he who touched a leper became himself unclean. But in laying his hand upon the leper, Jesus received no defilement. His touch imparted life-giving power. The leprosy was cleansed. Thus it is with the leprosy of sin, deeply rooted, deadly, and impossible to be cleansed by human power. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint, for the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. But Jesus, coming to dwell in humanity, received no pollution. His presence was healing virtue to the sinner. Whoever will fall at His feet, saying in faith, 'Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean,' shall hear the answer, 'I will, be Thou clean.'" In some instances of healing, Jesus did not at once grant the blessing sought. But in the case of leprosy, no sooner was the appeal made than it was granted. When we pray for earthly blessings, the answer to our prayer may be delayed, or God may give us something other than we ask. But not so when we ask for deliverance from sin. It is His will to cleanse us from sin, to make us His children, to enable us to live holy life. Christ gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have the opportunity to be evidence for or against God, our life. It's my desire. Is it your desire to be a living testimony for Him? To let your life reflect Him? To let Him cleanse your heart from the leprosy of sin and selfishness in creating you a new heart after the likeness of Christ? Is that your desire here this morning? Amen. That's mine too. Is He willing? He is willing. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we just thank You for Your willingness to not hold anything back and not hold anything good from us. Forgive us, Father, for at times asking the question, I wonder if God is really even willing to help me with this. Or I wonder if God really can. Father, we're tempted to think that at times when we find ourselves struggling through life, when we find ourselves struggling with problems, perhaps over and over again. But Father, what we learn from this story is the problem and the reluctance doesn't lie with You. But the problem and the reluctance lies in our own hearts. To either let go of something or to believe that You could actually change us. So Father, we've learned in this story that You're willing. Our prayer is simply, please cleanse us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.